Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Turn to Mark chapter 5. This evening I'm talking about raising confident, godly girls. Raising confident, godly girls. Mark chapter 5 is an interesting story, and we're just going to read this brief story and then quickly go through tonight. Just that we're not going to have 20 points like we did with the boys. I know that was extreme. We've only got 18 points for the girls this evening, and we're going to do that in the next about 25 minutes. But Mark chapter 5 is a very interesting story, because in Mark chapter 25, Mark 5. If you got Mark chapter 25, you've got the wrong Bible. There is no Mark 25. So Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 21, the Bible says, "And when Jesus had passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." Now listen. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name." A ruler of the synagogue was one who walked with dignity. He was one who was well respected. As we talked about Nicodemus several weeks ago, he was one who people looked up to. He was one who solved other people's problems. He was one who took care of the needs of others. He was one who knew what pomp and circumstance was. He knew how to act properly. And he would have been respected. He would have been one who other people came and honored. But Jairus has a problem right now. And his problem is his daughter. And he loves his daughter. And he wants what's best for his daughter. But his daughter is sick. His daughter is sick unto death. There's a special bond, I believe, between a father and a daughter. Especially if you love your daughters. And he obviously loved his daughters. The Bible says, or his daughter. The Bible says that, "Behold, there cometh one ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him," this ruler of the synagogue sees Jesus, the carpenter turned rabbi, as everybody is thinking. That's how people thought of Jesus. He sees Jesus. He's heard of what Jesus can do. He's heard of the miracles. He has a daughter that he cares about. And because of that, he doesn't care what anybody else thinks. He's not caring about his position in the Sanhedrin. He's not thinking about the fact that he's a ruler of the Jews. He's not thinking about the fact that he solves other people's problems. He's not thinking about all his reputation and his riches. He doesn't give a rip about all that. His one concern is his daughter. He wants his daughter to be well. The Bible says that this ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, this is what he did, this dignified ruler of the Jews, he fell at his feet and he besought him. That is, he literally begged him. He pled with him greatly, saying, "My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." He comes to Jesus because he cared about his daughter. We're not going to go into the rest of the story. I'll tell you the rest of the story very quickly. Jesus says, "Okay, I'll go with you." And as he's going, she's been sick. She's 12 years old. He goes, and there's another lady who's been sick for 12 years. And Jesus stops and heals this lady, goes to where Jairus' daughter is, and he heals Jairus' daughter. They think she's dead, but she's not dead. And Jesus, or if she is dead, Jesus raises her from the dead. The point that I want you to see here is this. This man cared about his daughter. He cared about her. He wanted what was best for her. And it didn't matter what else happened or what anybody thought. He was willing to go to Jesus and plead with Jesus for his daughter's well-being. I think it's so important that you and I, as men and as fathers and as mothers, that we understand that God wants us to have that kind of passion, that kind of love, that kind of concern for our daughters. And I'm going to talk about raising godly, confident daughters tonight. Father, I pray that you'll help me to get through these points tonight. I pray, Father, you'll help me to be able to communicate the truths that are here for your glory and your honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought that God would never give me any daughters. When Matthew was about to be born, Anna said, "What do you want, a boy or a girl?" I said, "I want a girl. I want a girl." And the girl's name is going to be Charity. And I told everybody, God's going to give us a girl, but God gave me a boy. I decided not to name him Charity. And he's thankful, and I'm thankful, and everybody's thankful. And so we called him Matthew. And so a couple years later, Anna got pregnant again. And I thought, okay, this will be my girl. We'll have a boy and then a girl. And then God gave me Joshua. And we didn't name him Charity either. And I said, okay, this is it. I understand. I understand that if God gave me a girl, I would spoil her rotten. I would not have the ability to spank her. I would be hard for me to say no to a little girl when she come up in her little fluffy, frilly dress and said, "Hi, Daddy." I just won't be able to do it. And God, you know, I understand, you know, so I'm never going to get a girl. So I just determined that that's the way it was going to be. A couple of years later, my wife is pregnant again. And I said, "Okay, I'm ready for another boy. We'll call him Bowser or something, but I don't know what we're going to call him, but we'll call him something. And I know that God's going to give me another boy because he knows that I can't be trusted with girls to raise them and to not spoil them rotten." And then God gave me our first girl. God gave us Charity. And I can remember, she came out and the doctor said, "It's a girl." I said, "No, it can't be. Wrong child." But it was Charity. Then a couple years later, God gave me Faith. And then God, a couple years later, gave us Hope. In fact, we tell people all the time, we had Matthew, Joshua, Charity, and Faith. And for 4 years, we were hopeless. You'll catch that later. Anyway, but then God gave us hope, and God just blessed us and allowed us. I can remember thinking, "God, this is such a heavy responsibility. I want to make sure that my girls grow up living for you and serve you." And then I got to thinking about one of these days, some clod's going to come along and want to date my daughter. And what am I going to do when that happens? I mean, I explained to them all that they could start dating at the age of 31, but I thought, what am I going to do? Then God did bring into their lives some godly men, and they all got married to godly men. When my last daughter was getting married, I wrote this. I had a little girl who told me one day, "I've met a young prince, but I'm moving away." I said in my mind, "This really can't be. I remember just yesterday you sat on my knee. You told me you loved me and that you would stay right here in my home and that we would play, that we would have parties and watch movies all night, and we would wrestle and eat popcorn and fight over you drinking my grape juice and eating my food. We had so much fun. So who is this dude that's taking my girl and stolen her heart? Now from my home you want to depart?" She said, "Oh, but Daddy, he is a great man. I know you will love him. He follows God's plan. He wants to serve Jesus with me by his side. And I really love him and want to abide beside him through life and help him to see all Jesus has for him and wants him to be. I know God will use him and work through his life. So give me your blessing to be this man's wife. So with trepidation, I'll give her to him. I'll pray for God's guidance. I'll pray that they win. All the joy that two people committed to Christ can have in this world as they live out their life. And Josh, I will pray that to you, hope will be as much of a blessing as she has been for me. A girl comes into a home and grabs her father's heart. And God wants us to raise them for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that without spoiling them, without ruining them? I'm going to give you, I said, and I will, in the next 20 minutes, I'm going to give you 18 points. So write these down and write quickly. You think, you can't do that? Yes, I can. Number one, pray for your little girl every single day. Pray for your little girl every single day. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What do you pray? You pray for their salvation, you pray for their moral purity, and you pray for their husband. I've told you this before, but every single day I pray for 27 people in my family. I pray for my sons and my daughter-in-laws and my daughters and my son-in-laws, and I pray for every one of them by name. I pray for every one of my grandchildren. I pray for their husbands. You need to pray for your daughters. You need to pray for your sons' wives, as I said a couple of weeks ago, but you need to pray for your daughters' husbands. You need to pray that they'll be saved. And listen, you don't have to, you say, man, that's just that's so hard. No, let me tell you how you pray. You just say, dear Lord Jesus, I pray for Estella Rose. I pray that she'll be saved at a young age. I pray she'll live for you. I pray she'll serve you all of her life. And I pray you'll give her a godly husband. And you go to the next one. That's all you need to do. You say, that's it? That doesn't sound very substantial. Well, what are you doing? That's all you need to do. God just says, ask. You see, the same thing. Why is that important? Because God said to do it. And I want God to protect Estella Rose. Do you want God to protect your daughter? Can you say amen to that? And mom and dad, you ought to pray every single day. Pray for them every single day. Number two, marry a godly example. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness to his bones. Wow, that's quite a statement. Your wife will impact your little girl more than anyone else. What she lives, they will become. What she lives, they will become. That is, by the way, why you need to be a good husband and love the wife that God has given you. You can love your wife into submission more than you can talk her into submission or anything else. You need to love your wife. You need to make sure, if you're not married, that you marry a godly example. Number three. Compliment them when they look like ladies. A word fitly spoken, the Bible says in Proverbs 25 and verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. When they wear a pretty dress, tell them, that is such a pretty dress. Today, my granddaughter Joanna came in, and Joanna had her hair up in a little thing here, and her hair's all puffy, and she came in and she walked by me like this, like, is grandpa going to know this? Because that's what little girls do. And so grandpa said, oh, look at you, you look so beautiful, look at your hair, it's so neat. And she said, you need to compliment your girls when they dress like girls. When Ashlyn was just a little girl, she would come in, she'd twirl around in her little dress, and I'd tell her she's beautiful. Then she'd come in Levi's. And I'd say, hey, Fred. She'd say, my name's not Fred. I'd say, wait, well, where's Ashlyn? She said, I'm Ashlyn. I said, no, you're Fred. My granddaughter Ashlyn, she doesn't look like that. Boys wear jeans. And and we would have fun that way. I didn't start that, by the way. Her dad started that, and I just took it up because I thought it was a good idea. Compliment them when they look like ladies. Have fun with them. Compliment them. Compliment them when they act like ladies. compliment them when they act like ladies. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearl or costly array. Teach them modesty and teach them to act like ladies. Compliment their character, not their talent. When they are compassionate, when they're helpful, when they serve with a happy heart, compliment them. Let them know how wonderful you think they're behaving. I remember watching a video of a little girl. And she was standing there so pretty. And she said, now, and she was going to start her poem. We love Jesus. Jesus loves us. And her brother, little brother came. And she's standing there so pretty, so nice. We love Jesus. And Jesus loves us. And her brother came in and started poking and she said, get out of here! Get out of here! We love Jesus. So cute. And it's so typical. There she is trying to be a little lady and her rotten brothers messing things up. She took care of him, though. That was just it. Compliment her when she's acting like a lady. Number four. Number five, teach her instant obedience. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. She will learn, she's got to learn submission in order to be a godly wife. And I want you to understand you need to compliment her when she does what she's told to do instantly with the right heart attitude. Compliment her. Oh, you are such a good girl. Man, that is so great. When you, as a grandpa, if you see, or a grandma, you see your kid, your grandkids doing exactly what their mom tells them to do, you ought to say, oh, man, you are so good. Does she always do it like, does she always do exactly what she's told to do? Does she always behave the way you ask her to behave? She is so wonderful. Compliment her when she is teach her instant obedience and then compliment the obedience that she has. Number six, get her girls' toys. Get her girls' toys. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from her. We got our little girls baby dolls a few years ago. Somebody walked into my office. Now, this doesn't happen every Christmas, but this did happen this Christmas. A few years ago, somebody walked in my office. I'm sitting behind my desk, and in fact, I'm thinking, what am I going to do for Christmas? It's tough when you have 17 grandchildren, and you want to spoil them all, you know? By the way, that's the responsibility of grandparents, to spoil their grandchildren. Parents are supposed to discipline. Grandparents are supposed to spoil. If you agree with that, say amen. If you don't, you don't have a voice. Doesn't matter. So, guy walks into my office and he says, Pastor, I want to do something nice for you. And he hands me a check for $5,000. He said, I just want you to do whatever you want like with that. I thought, man, can I get grandkids presents? And that was like the year of the American Girl doll. And so I said, honey, we're taking a trip to L.A. We drove down to the American Girl doll place, you know, where they're all born. And we found out which one of our girls liked which particular doll. And man, we went in there and we went shopping and just had a ball buying American Girl dolls for our girls and gave them to them. Like their parents, I gave them to, so a couple of their parents said, oh, they're not playing with this. This is too expensive. And so they're still in the box waiting for the girls to grow up. But again, that was several years ago. Get them baby dolls. Why? Because you want to teach your daughters to want to be mothers. They need to grow up. Now, I know this is not politically correct, but that's what you want. We want our girls to grow up. We avoided Barbie dolls for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're unrealistic. Number two, they give goals for girls to become something that they can't possibly attain. Number three, it emphasizes the Barbie dolls emphasize the girls dating boys and liking boys and running after boys. You say, well, shouldn't they do that? No, they shouldn't. They should be enjoying their childhood. And they should be looking forward to growing up and being moms like their mom. And we need to get back to focusing on that. Focusing on the family. Not running here and dating here and finding the Ken. I remember a guy coming to me saying, I want to find a Barbie. I said, buddy, you got to become a Ken and you ain't one. Avoid Barbies. They're unrealistic. We got them tea sets. We got them craft sets. Get them girls' toys that they can enjoy, that girls do, and let them know they're distinctively girls. Number 8, give her other godly role models. Mom should be the first godly role model, but let them find other godly role models. Proverbs 31 verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. We not only had my mom and Anna's mom as Christian grandmas, but we had Celeste Wimp. Celeste Wimp was Dr. Wimp's wife, and our kids growing up looked at Dr. and Mrs. Wimp as grandma and grandpa. In fact, it wasn't until Charity was in Bible college that she called home and she said, Dad, it just hit me. You didn't know grandpa all your life, did you? And I said, no. She said, man, I've always thought of them as grandma and grandpa. That's because they grew up. We wanted them to admire Mrs. Wimp because she was such a distinguished lady. And she acted like a lady and conducted herself like a lady. Mary Rice was a preacher's wife that we wanted our daughters were around all the time. And they still refer to her as Miss Mary. She's a wonderful mother, example of a mother. Beth Lee Young was another preacher's wife who we still interact with. Dave Young's going to be preaching for us next week. Great example. Julie Redland is a pastor's wife. We wanted our girls to have godly role models. It doesn't necessarily need to be pastors' wives, but you have, by the way, some great role models here. When you look at the pastors' wives here, when you look at Mrs. Shore, when you look at Charity Tice, when you look at Brianna, I said Charity Tice, sorry, Charity Berkey. When you look at Brianna Tice, when you look at Ruth Villarreal, you have great examples. You look at my wife. They're great examples of the way a woman should conduct themselves. And there's other ladies in here. Make sure they have good role models that they can look up to. Discourage improper behavior. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22 says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that an interesting verse? A jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Just picture this pig with a jewel in his nose. It's just out of place. God says the same thing is true of a beautiful woman who doesn't know how to behave herself. She needs to learn how to talk properly. She needs to be trained with proper table manners. She needs to know how she should conduct herself around boys so she knows what she should and shouldn't do. We would always take our kids. When we went on visitation, our kids all went with us on visitation. And we would knock on a person's door. We would say, on the way there, we would tell them, you know, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. You're not going to go in until you're invited in. You're not going to sit down until they invite you to sit down. You're not going to play. You're not going to mess up anything. If you mess up anything, you're going to clean it up. Okay, so they're all got it. In fact, one day we were on our way to a visit. And we were about halfway there, and Matthew from the back said, okay, Dad, are you going to give the sermon or is Mom? And so I gave him the sermon. We got to this one place. We got inside, and there was a boy and a couple of girls that were there. And the boy was Charity's age. And we were there. We were talking to the parents. And the kids said, can your kids come and play with us? And so we said, we asked the parents. They said, oh, yeah, that's fine. They've got a lot of toys in the back room. So as we were talking, our girls and our boys went back in the back, and they were playing in the back. And we were just about finishing up our conversation. All of a sudden, the boy comes out and says, What's wrong? What's wrong? Their son. She punched me. She punched me. And I walked back in the back room, and there's Charity. She was so cute. I mean, she her hair was in like bow little what are they called when they stick out both sides? Pony pig? Are they were pigtails or something? Anyway, they were there, and she's just standing there going. I said, what's going on? Let's clean this place up. And we got ran and clean up. She's not talking. She's not saying a thing. I said, come out here. And she said, did you punch him? She said, yes. I said, you say I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I said, good. We're going to talk about this when we get in the car. I'm thinking, what in the world went on here? Yes, this is Charity. So we said, I apologize. I'm so sorry. Oh, you know, those things happen. They never came back. Those things happen, and it's okay, and we understand, and we got. So we got out in the car, and we drive down the road, you know, like a block, and I stop, and I said, what happened? She said, and now Charity's still doing it. I said, what happened? She said, you came in, and you said, clean up the room. And I said, yes. And so she said, I got all the toys, and I put them up on the shelf, and I put it up on the shelf, and I put them up on the shelf, and I got it all cleaned, and he came and knocked them all down. I said, don't do that. And I put it back on the shelf, and I put it back on the shelf, and I put it back on the shelf. And he came and he knocked them all down again. And I started to put them up on the shelf. And then he came and started knocking them down. So I punched him. I said, good for you. Don't ever do that again. So, but we ought to discourage improper behavior. And, So there'll be times that you have to say, well, good, let's just not talk about this anymore. Discourage improper behavior. Number 9, spend so much time with them, loving them, that they won't want to disappoint you. Man. By the way, let me go back to that. This is very important. Don't allow your sons to be improper, inappropriate around her, and don't allow others to be inappropriate around your daughter. Just don't let it happen. Standing in a. And I'm not listening to Mr. Bold. I believe that unsaved people are going to say unsaved things, and they're going to be vile, and they're going to be vulgar. But sometimes things just get out of hand. And I'm standing in line. Charity had gotten a ticket. She's constantly getting in trouble. She got a ticket got a ticket for driving. She was about 16 years old, and I had to take her down, and she stood before the judge, and the judge said, you're going to have to pay a fine. So we're standing in line to pay the fine. And behind me, this man is really upset with the judge because the judge gave him a fine. And man, his wife is standing next to him, and he starts letting off a string of words. He just blasts him, and just saying horrible things, using the worst language you can think about. Standing behind me, and I heard it the first time, and I thought, okay, and I just held her and hugged her, and he just kept going on. Pretty soon, I just turned around, and I am not Mr. Bold, but I turned around and I said, excuse me, sir. I said, would you please watch your language? My daughter is standing right here, and she's a pure young lady, and I'd appreciate it if you'd watch your language. And his wife said, see, I told you. And I thought this. I thought, man, that man doesn't have any respect for any woman. And he doesn't have any respect for his wife. And the guy said, I'm sorry. He backed down. I'm glad he did that because he was much bigger than me. You need to guard them. Now, number 9. Spend so much time with them, loving them, that they won't want to disappoint you. In Mark chapter 10, the Bible says, but Jesus saw it. He was much displeased, and he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Look, Jesus wanted children to come to him. He loves us. Your daughter ought to think, man, my dad loves me. My dad loves me, and I don't want to disappoint my dad. Just spend time loving them so that they want to impress you, not be disappointed with you. Not disappoint you. Number 10, make sure that they have good girlfriends. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Listen, you make sure that they have good friends. We taught our girls that they were each other's best friends. So that Charity always had faith, and Faith always had Charity, and Hope had faith and Charity. They just had each other. And they encouraged each other, and they watched out for each other. Other than that, they had good friends here. The other day I was watching a video of in 1989, watching Charity and Faith, no, I'm sorry, Charity and Brianna on the platform of our old church building. And they were getting Awana Awards. Cute as a butt. They were just so cute, and they're getting these awards. I saw Faith with Heather as well. They were getting their awards. And I thought, man, isn't it great that they had those friendships? Because, and it's so important that you guard them, that you make sure that they have the right friends. Their friends will affect their attitudes. It's so important. You need to make sure that you allow their friends to come into your home so that they're in your home. I was watching another video the other day as we were looking for some stuff for next week. And I saw all our girls have all these girls over at our house. There were just about four or five of them just packed in our house, just having a wonderful time, laughing and having a good time. Our house was filled with kids all the time, especially through their teenage years. Number 11, get them girl movies. Psalm 101 verse 3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Man, you need to get them movies that are good, clean, wholesome girl movies. I don't know how many times I watched or slept through Anne of Green Gables. I've watched every single episode of Little House on the Prairie. I've watched Hallmark movies. In fact, we watched Anne of Green Gables so much that my girls convinced me to drive to Prince Edward Island. And I drove from Las Vegas, Nevada to Prince Edward Island, which is past Nova Scotia on the other side of the country. We went up there just because I wanted them to be able to relate to girl things. Old-time TV shows, we watched movies like The Happiest Millionaire, the one and only Genuine Original Family Band, which nobody in the world has heard of but us. But we sang the songs in there, all these girl movies. And our guys even liked some of these girl movies that we watched. We would wait for somebody to get shot, something we could relate to. But get them girl movies. Number 12, mom, do girl things with them. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 again says, "Train up a child in the way they should go." Cook with your daughters. Sew with your daughters. And you say, "Oh, can't men sew?" Yes, they can, but not well. Can't men cook? Some can cook very well. But teach them there's things that ladies do. It's all right. Shopping with them for clothes, looking for clothes. Teach her to be graceful in how she sits, how she walks, and how she talks. So important that a girl learns how not to be aggressive towards men. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So moms, do girl things with them. Number 13, teach her to love and respect her dad. You know, when I came home at night, every night, I used to think my kids just naturally did this. I would come to the door, I would open the door, and my kids would come, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," they'd just do that. I thought, wow, I must really be some great guy. But that wasn't the deal. My wife had taught my kids to that as soon as Daddy comes home, you run, and because he's going to want to see you. He's going to want to see you. My daughter Faith teaches her kids, Joanna and John David and Estella, she teaches them that the one who gets to kiss Daddy first wins. So they run, then they fight to kiss Daddy. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but But it's you need to teach your girls to respect their daddy. The Bible tells us this about the little harlot in Proverbs chapter 7. She says, well, the goodman, that is my dad's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. And she seduces a boy, brings her into the house. Look, that's not going to happen if she respects her daddy. Be the example. Don't criticize your husband. Be excited when daddy comes home. Dad should be the hero. Dad, look, you need to be the hero that she expects, even when you don't feel like it. Sitting in an airport, watching, this was back before 9/11 when you could actually go up to the gate. There's two little girls and a mom waiting with a sign as daddy's coming off the plane. And they're waiting. And she's saying, daddy's coming, daddy's coming, daddy's coming. And they're all excited and they're ready. But obviously he had a bad time at the whatever business meeting he was in. They're there, and they're saying, daddy's coming. And she's getting them all psyched. Daddy comes walking off the plane with all the other people, sees them, and she pushes the kids aside, grabs the wife and said, let's go, and takes off. That guy was an absolute idiot. Didn't matter what happened back and wherever he was. At that moment, he had the opportunity to be the greatest hero in the world to two little girls. Listen, be the hero your children want you to be. When you've worked all day, you go home and everything's not gone right, just throw it away and say, I'm going to be a hero to my kids. They need me to think they're the best thing in the whole world. Your girls need that. Remember this, you better hug your girls every single night. Because, buddy, if you don't hug them, somebody else will. And you'll be brokenhearted. Number 14, teach her to be a listener and to be a good conversationalist. James 1:19 says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This will happen through personal interaction. Teach her to ask questions. Teach her she does not have to tell everything she knows. Listen, guys like to talk about themselves. Everybody likes to talk about themselves. My girls are great conversationalists, and they don't have to talk much. They just ask questions. And I want you to understand, you can teach them to listen. If they learn to listen, then people will listen to them. Number 15, teach her not to be forward with boys. Proverbs 7 says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her lips. It is the harlot that flatters boys with her lips to try and get them to come her way. Girls don't, we taught our girls, you don't call boys. Now, they don't call anymore. They text and they, whatever they do. But girls shouldn't be forward with boys. Girls don't return, don't call boys. If a boy calls, they can return the call. Girls let boys pursue them. Now, girls can do things to get boys to pursue them, but girls don't pursue boys. Girls should let boys, should treat all boys with courtesy. No matter who they are, they should treat everyone with courtesy and respect, but they don't pursue them. It's so important. I would tell a story here, but I'm out of time, so I won't. Number 16, teach her that her body, this is so important. Teach her body is sacred. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Teach her to dress modestly. She should be covered from her neck to her knee. And teach her, it's because boys look at girls differently if they uncover parts of their body. And they're not thinking about the girl, they're thinking about themselves. No one has a right. You need to teach her to touch her. No one has a right to touch your daughter. And you need to teach her that. That should be the next point up. And then mom should have a frank and honest conversation with her between the ages of 10 and 11. Go away. Just have a frank, honest conversation. Begin to have that conversation with them. By the way, that's not a one-time conversation. That's a conversation that continues, but it begins about 10 or 11 years old. You say, why that early? Because somebody else is going to talk to her if you don't. Number 17, be like a mother bear even if you're accused of being overprotective. Can I tell you this? You cannot be overprotective in 2017. Proverbs 17:12 says, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Always have parental supervision or adult supervision. Do not allow sleepovers. Be very careful about sleepovers. The deal is you cannot stay awake as long as they can stay awake. I don't care how young you think you are, you're not that young. You'll be thinking, what are they doing? And you're going to fall asleep. And your girls will talk about things. Some girl who you think is wonderful is going to talk about something that you don't want your daughter talking about. And your girls will get an education. Be careful with relatives. Your children should feel free to tell you anything. I don't know how many times I've talked to girls and parents who said, I didn't know this was going on. Their uncle, their aunt, their... And you think, oh, man, your kids should feel free to tell you anything. Do not allow exclusive relationships until college. Now, some people will say, you know, that's ridiculous. I think, but shouldn't kids be able to date at 15 or 16? Who told you that? Who told you that? The Bible didn't say that. The Bible tells us that your children are not adults until they're 20 years old. That's what the Bible tells us. Your daughter doesn't have the emotional stability. You say, my daughter's mature for her age. I don't care. Your daughter doesn't have the emotional stability to handle being alone with a guy at the age of 15 or 16 years old. I had a girl come to me one day and she said, this was years ago. She said, you're really cool. And I know you really understand things. And so she said, Pastor, would you talk to my parents about the fact that they want me to wait? I'm 15 years old. They want me to wait till I'm 16 years old to date. I said, they want you to date at 16? Yeah. Could you talk to them? I said, I certainly will. I'll talk to them because my daughter's not going to date until she's 18 or 20. She said, what? She said, please don't talk to my parents. Our children were allowed to get together with groups of guys and girls within the church as they were growing up, as long as they were Christian guys and girls, and there was adult supervision. You could call that group dating if you want. We just said, and they were allowed to say, I think that guy is, you know. I couldn't, the first time I heard one of my daughters say this, I almost thought, what? One of my daughters in the back seat said, yeah, that guy's gorgeous. John, I didn't think the girls called guys gorgeous. But she said that. I thought, don't say that. You know, oh, yuck. And so what I'm saying is this. They're allowed to look to think a guy's cute and that kind of stuff. You don't need to be like, you're not allowed. But we told our kids when they were growing up, you don't love anybody until you're 20 years of age when you're able to get married. That's when you get to love somebody. You can like them a lot. You can say they're really nice, but you're not dating. Our kids did not date. They did not couple date until they were 20 years old. They went to college, and they met people at college where they were very well supervised. You say, why? Don't you trust your kids? Absolutely not. You say, that's shocking. It should shock you. Do you trust your flesh? Do you think it's a wise thing for a man that's married to be alone with a woman that's not married and be, why do you think we have such immorality going on? People say, oh man, we never expected this to happen, but look what happened. Look, your flesh is just like my flesh. Your flesh wants to do wrong. You have a battle in your flesh, and you're supposed to help your kids protect themselves from their own flesh. So yeah, I tell my kids, I trust you, I just don't trust your flesh. And as long as you're in the flesh, then I'm going to help you not to do the wrong thing. So don't allow exclusive relationships until they go to college. And then number 18, teach her to serve the Lord and prepare for a life of service. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 23 and 24, it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance." Let her prepare for a career in college. We told our kids graduation is not an option. We want you to graduate. Why? We wanted that to happen just in case some unforeseen thing took place. Let me give you these in order. Prepare to give her career up for children. Teach her to prepare for a career in college. Then number two, prepare to give up her career for her children. And then number three, this way she is prepared for any unforeseen event. My wife and I were both raised by single moms. So we know what it's like when a mom has to work because the dad is unavailable. The dad died. The dad's sick. Dad can't work. So she needs to be prepared for that kind of thing because anything could happen. So that's why I think a college career is so important, especially in our culture today. But when she has children, she should be willing to give up that career. Then if something unfortunate takes place, she still has something to fall back on. All these things will help prepare your daughter. The Bible tells us again, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find her? I'll tell you what, virtuous women are not born into this world. Virtuous women are developed by the love and care of a mom and a dad. So let's determine to raise our kids, our daughters, for the glory of God. Father, help us to take what we've heard here and help us to apply it for your glory and for your honor. Father, I pray that you'd help moms and dads not just to be hearers of the word, but doers. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.